Millennials and Gen Zers looking to buy houses are having a rough time of it, and analysts say baby boomers are the reason. Hi, I'm Rob West. Boomers aren't the only reason younger folks are finding it difficult to buy the size home they'd like. Other factors are working against them too. I'll tell you all about it today with some advice on how to deal with it. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, so the real estate site Redfin says that empty nest baby boomers own almost a third of the nation's large homes. These are folks aged 58 to 76. Meanwhile, millennials with kids own just 14%. Millennials are defined as ages 26 to 41. As you might expect, Gen Zers ages 19 to 25 own just 0.3% of large homes. And in case you're wondering, a large home is described as having three bedrooms or more. Now, why is any of this important? Well, because younger folks tend to upsize, buying larger houses as their families grow. And so right now, there's a huge demand for those homes, but not a lot of inventory. Redfin says this situation is caused by two factors. First, when today's boomers were younger, houses in general were a lot more affordable, so they tended to buy bigger houses. Second, boomers now have little financial incentive to sell. Most of them, 54%, have no mortgage. They own their houses outright. Their median monthly cost of ownership for things like insurance and taxes comes to just over $600. For boomers still holding a mortgage, the vast majority have a much lower interest rate than they'd have if they sold now and bought a different home. They might downsize and have about the same monthly payment, so they're staying put and keeping inventory low. Of course, for millennials and Gen Zers, all this is making their dream house seem like a dream that will never come true. Supply chain interruptions during the COVID pandemic dramatically reduced building starts for a couple of years, while demand for new houses only grew. The increase in building cost raised home values higher and higher, and then came inflation and soaring interest rates. Not surprisingly, all this made 2023 the least affordable home buying year on record. Folks with equity in their current home can generally sell and buy another house, but first-time home buyers without that leverage are finding themselves priced out of the market. 2024 is projected to be a better year for them, but conditions are a long way from what their parents experienced. Many boomers took advantage of an abundance of newly built homes and favorable economic conditions during their biggest earning years, 30 or more years ago. They built wealth and bought big homes. Those homes proved to be solid investments. Their value has grown several times faster than incomes over the last several decades. Boomers now hold half of the nation's wealth, and a lot of it is in real estate. Also, when they bought homes, they didn't have to spend as high a percentage of monthly income on housing, so they were free to invest more. Today's younger families aren't being handed those same opportunities, but analysts say they need to be patient. More boomers will decide to sell and downsize in the years ahead. More houses will be built. Inventory will increase and prices will go down. Mortgage rates will also go down, maybe not to 2% or even 3%, but they will go down, making homes more affordable. It's just a matter of time. In the meantime, you can get ready. I recently gave you some steps for this, and they're worth repeating. First, accelerate your payments to get rid of credit card debt and any car loans you have. That improves your debt-to-income ratio and will help you get a better mortgage rate. Be sure to make every payment on time. Check your credit reports for errors and dispute any you find. Bring your credit score up as much as possible. That will also help you get a lower interest rate, which will lower your monthly payment when you do buy. Save as much as you can in liquid savings for your down payment. 20% is best. That way, you won't get stuck with private mortgage insurance, which increases your monthly payment from $30 to $70 for every $100,000 you borrow. And finally, when you are ready to buy, don't take the first mortgage offer that comes your way. Most buyers do, if you can believe it. Get pre-approved and then shop around for a mortgage with the lowest rate and best terms you can find. It could save you tens of thousands of dollars over time. Okay, that's what's going on in the housing market. I hope you found that to be helpful as you're on your quest to buy a home. Your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Valentine's Day has come and gone, but Christians are called to love every day of the year. And not just because love is a good thing, it's because we serve a God who defines what love is. And God's love does not need a special day. He never forgets the object of His affection, His people, chosen and loved in Him. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." And that's important because God knew our rebellious hearts ahead of time. He knew we'd take His love for granted, and yet there's never been a moment when He did not love us. And we know this because He sent His Son to rescue us. See Jesus more clearly through daily time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. We've got lines open and we're ready to dive in. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'd love to tackle what you're considering in your financial life today and see if we can help you apply biblical wisdom to your decisions and choices. You can get in on the mix. Again, 800-525-7000. All right, let's dive in today. We're going to begin with Trey in Georgia. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, sir. Good morning. What I was calling a reference to is that I recently bought a car. And when I called to make a payment, it asked me two questions. It asked me, number one, did I want to make the the regular car payment, or did I want to make an interest payment? And I don't know what that's all about. Do I need to make the car payment, or do I need to make both payments in reference to what they were talking about? And I didn't know what that was all about. And your help would be greatly appreciated.
I'm happy to, Trey. It's a little confusing, and I can understand why you're confused. Normally, car loans are what's called simple interest, which just basically means they calculate the interest based on the balance on the day the payment is due. And so you would have an option to either make your scheduled monthly payment, which you have to do, and that would be the payment that's due on that date, plus the interest that's being attached to it based on the balance and the interest rate. You have to pay that at a minimum. But then additionally, you would often get an option to pay a direct to principal, not to interest, but to principal. And that extra payment would be a principal reduction payment that basically drops that principal balance, which is a good thing because now that portion that you've paid down, you're no longer going to pay interest on that over the life of the loan. So at a minimum, you certainly want to pay that scheduled monthly payment, which is going to be the same every month. But then if you have the ability to go above and beyond that and apply that directly to principal, that is a good thing because that's going to reduce that balance. Does that make sense or were you seeing something different?
Okay, I understand that. So go ahead and pay both of them. It's like the car note is $234. So would I make another $234 and make half of that or make my interest is 2.9? I would make 2.9 of that. Or it don't make any difference how much I pay.
No, as long as you pay your scheduled monthly payment each month. So you have a fixed monthly payment that you pay for the car loan every month, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So anything beyond that is completely at your discretion. If you want to send $5 or $500, that's entirely up to you.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It makes sense now. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. And basically what this is going to do is this is going to for whatever you're able to send beyond that scheduled monthly payment, and you certainly don't have to, whatever you send beyond that would, automatically be applied to that principal. But just make sure that you're seeing that principal reduction. But there's certainly not a set amount you need to do. That would be entirely at your discretion. Trey, thanks for your call. I hope that clears things up for you. Let's go to Maryland. Hi, Lee.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for calling.
Okay, yes, I have a problem. I have a term life insurance policy that once I turn 70, the value it cut in half. But the amount I pay every month for the premium, it hasn't changed at all. So what's the best next thing I can do?
Yeah, the age reduction schedule reduces the face amount of your term life insurance. So are you still working?
No, I stopped work. I'm retired now.
Okay, all right. And do you need this life insurance benefit any longer?
I believe it. To me, I just want to pay for my burial expenses.
Yeah. What is the death benefit on this policy today after it's been reduced?
$20,000.
Okay. And how much are you paying for it every month?
$56.
Okay. And how long does the term continue at this point? Do you know?
No, I do not.
Okay. Yeah, I would certainly look at that and see if there's going to be continued reductions. You may also want to just look at a straight burial policy that if you're in good health, you may be able to qualify for, and it may be less expensive. I wouldn't drop it until you have something to replace it, if in fact you're wanting to maintain the death benefit. I guess the question I would have, though, Lee, is are there other assets that you could earmark for burial expenses or even begin prepaying your burial expenses so that you don't have to continue to incur this premium expense?
What I do have one CD that's $7,000. I say if I stop this policy, that will become my burial expense.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, the average cost of a burial is going to run around that number. Normally folks will say, I think the average I've seen recently is around 7,000 to 8,000. So you're probably right there. And the nice thing would be is if you were able to earmark that for this expense,
and it be available. And maybe even if you don't prepay it, maybe you do some pre-planning. So, you know, some of these decisions that are made by you, so your loved ones don't have to, you know, think about those decisions at that time. And then if this money was available and maybe even with a named beneficiary on it so that it passes outside of probate to your loved one who's going to be handling your affairs, then you've essentially self-insured and you no longer – you could take that $57 every month and – add that to your savings. And, you know, every year you're going to be, you know, building that savings up by another $700 for every year the Lord has for you here before he calls you home. And you're not sending that to the insurance company.
All right. That sounds good.
All right. Well, thank you for your call, Lee. We appreciate you listening to the program. May the Lord bless you. Folks, we've got some lines open today. We're just getting started. We've got plenty of room for your questions at 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Mississippi. Hi, Ann.
Rob.
Yes,
hey,
ma'am.
Hey, Rob.
Hi.
Okay. I'm 71 and a half, and I have roughly $270,000 with Wells Fargo.
All right.
And I was with Fidelity when I retired, and I wished I'd have just stayed with them, but I didn't. So that's, anyway. But I go to church, or used to go to church with someone, and I'm good friends with them and all that, and I'm going to take $70,000 out and put with him. He's he works for an insurance company, but I trust him. But my main question is, what percentage should I have at my age? I've got the portfolio right here in Wells Fargo, and it tells me what percent is in cash and sweep balances is roughly 7%, and stocks, options, ETFs is 19%, fixed income securities, 0%. Mutual funds, 52.59, and unit investment trust, which I don't even know what that is, but 21.86, it comes up to 100%.
Yes, ma'am.
And so I'm wondering, I thought about changing to Fidelity. I may wind up changing to Fidelity, but I do want to give some to this person that
sure.
I trust.
Let's do this, Ann. This is helpful background. I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'll give you my thoughts on the other side. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Because of my past health history, finding affordable health care was nearly impossible. But then I found CHM, where costs are not adjusted based on medical history. Christian Healthcare Ministries even provides the freedom to choose my own providers. And the best part? CHM members pray for me. Too good to be true? It's not. I'm a proud member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, and if you think it could be right for you, learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner. American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years, fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Well, it's great to have you here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, where we want God to be your ultimate treasure and money to be a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We've got some lines open today, taking your questions on anything financial, helping you make decisions in light of biblical wisdom. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. Robert Youngblood answering our calls today, and he's ready to take your call again at 800-525-7000. Whatever's on your mind today, we'd love to hear from you. And if you have a testimony, maybe you've seen these principles we talk about on this program play out in your financial life, and you'd like to share that word of encouragement of God's faithfulness or provision, or perhaps how you were able to work yourself out of a difficult situation, you could share that as well. Again, 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Ann in Mississippi. Ann is 71. She has got a lump sum retirement that she rolled out of Fidelity to Wells Fargo, about $270,000. She does have a trusted friend at church who's with an insurance company. She's thinking of putting about $70,000 with him, and she's just wondering about her overall investment mix. And what I would say to you, and I appreciate that rundown or breakdown of the investments that you have, you know, typically, and that's all it is, typically, I mean, this doesn't replace specific planning based on your needs, goals, and objectives, but typically, somebody who's 70 years old, because we're living longer, you know, we use the number 110, so we take 110 minus your age, and then that's the portion we put into stocks, and then the balance we put into fixed income type investments or bonds. So in your case, that would be 40% to stocks and about 60% fixed income. Now, you may already be there. We just don't know. We know you've got 7% in cash, 15% in stocks, nothing in fixed income. However, you got 52% in mutual funds. And as you read those names, most of those are balanced mutual funds, which balanced means they have a mix of stocks and bonds. So you do have some bond exposure with more than half of your portfolio there, or at least some portion of that. And then you've got some unit investment trusts, and these can be very conservative or they can be very risky. I mean, this is just an investment company that offers a fixed portfolio, generally of stocks and bonds, and it's redeemable to investors, you know, for a period of time. And, you know, the focus can be on, you know, stocks or bonds. You know, there can be other assets in there as well. There can be, you know, UITs that are seeking to, you know, mirror a particular strategy. So they might look to beat a stock market index, or they might be focused on generating income like dividends. They may be, you know, sector specific, you know, looking at a niche market, and this is where they can get a bit more risky. So it really depends on what kind of UIT you have. And so I think this really does beg somebody who's overseeing all of this. Now, if you want to move that between two advisors, as you described, maybe one being your friend with the insurance company and the other being an advisor who'd manage the other $200,000, I think that makes some sense, because then it's not, you know, doesn't put the pressure on you where you're second guessing, do I have the right investments? Should I keep them or make some changes? And am I too risky or too conservative? So I feel like that would be a good option for you. And, you know, my recommendation would be to connect with several certified Kingdom advisors there in Mississippi, and then find the one that's the best fit. And then perhaps you'd split it, or 70 with one and 200 with the other, but you'd have two advisors managing the money, and then you'd be in regular communication with them and oversee it, but you'd no longer have to make those buy and sell decisions. But give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, that sounds good. I thought about taking out of Wells Fargo the $200,000 and moving it back to Fidelity, but they're probably not certified Kingdom advisors.
Well, there would be many CKAs that use Fidelity, but if you just go to Fidelity Retail, you're just going to get, you know, whoever at the call center, you know, would be assigned to you versus you connecting with an advisor. And then most registered investment advisors, independent advisors, use, you know, either Schwab or Fidelity. And then there's a whole host of advisors at the wirehouses like Merrill and Morgan. There's others that use Edward Jones or LPL or Ameriprise. So, you know, it really, for me, it's less about the custodian or the brokerage firm or broker dealer and more about the advisor that you have a good relationship with, that understands God's word, that understands what your goals and objectives are in this season of life and can build an investment portfolio that is consistent with that.
Okay, well, one more. Okay. I'll check into that your website. Now, what's your website?
It's faithfi.com, faithfi.com.
Did you faithfi? Okay, I got it. Now, I had a question right quick. I'm getting, automatic deposit out of Wells Fargo is $2,000, but I think it's like $2,200, you know, including taxes. I only see $2,000 in my checking every month. And I'm wondering, am I getting too much out? I did get a little part-time job.
Okay. Ideally, out of a $270,000 account, we wouldn't take more than about $11,000 or $12,000 a year, so about $1,000 a month, and you're a little more than double that. So, you know, I think what that's going to do is, you know, when you take $24,000 a year out of a $270,000 account, it just means, you know, without taking a lot of risk, which you don't want to do in this season of life, you're going to be slowly depleting that. Versus if you were to be able to fund your lifestyle through your part-time work and Social Security and maybe cut the withdrawal down to about $1,000 a month, then I think with that advisor, you could make a goal that you maintain over time, not in any given month or quarter, but over time you maintain the $270 and even with the withdrawals.
Okay, so I need to try to cut it instead of $2,000 to $1,000. Well, actually, it's $2,200, I believe. So instead of $1,000, what, maybe $1,100 or something to allow?
Yeah, I mean, I'd get you between $900 and $1,000. I know that's not going to be easy, but that would be my goal, is to try to get that to $1,000 a month.
$1,000 a month to clear for me to get in my checking.
Yes, I mean, that would be fine, but I think, you know, not any more than that. Preferably it'd be $1,000 gross, and then you'd clear, you know, the after-tax amount. But certainly if you could get down to $1,000 net to you, that'd be a lot better than where you are today. Hey, thanks for your call, and may the Lord bless you. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian credit counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian credit counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Our world may be constantly shifting, but our faith is built on solid ground. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress teaches on the pillars of historic Christianity to help you stand strong in a changing world. Discover what every Christian should know about salvation, the church, and Christ-likeness. All this week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, have you checked out our brand new 4-week study called Rich Toward God? It's right off the presses. It's beautiful. And if you're looking for a study that's practical and relevant to your life, it's going to take you deep into God's Word to help you uncover some of these key money issues related to pride and prosperity and the uncertainty of tomorrow and what it means to live rich toward God. Well, this study's for you. You could do it on your own or with a small group in your neighborhood or maybe at church. If you're like me, you're in a small group and you're always looking for good quality biblical studies that are relevant and practical to use with your small group, well, this might be the one. Again, you can check it out on our website, faithfi.com, faithfi.com. It's the first in our FaithFi Studies series, and we think you're going to love it. Just click on the shop button at the top of the page and check it out today. All right, we're going to head back to the phones. We've got some lines open, just two, in fact, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Sonia. Go ahead.
Oh, hello. I have a question about financing cars versus purchasing cars. My husband and I have the money to purchase a new car, but we're not sure if we should pay cash for the car or if we should finance as low as we can, make monthly payments, and then take the other portion of like what we would have paid for the for the car with cash and invest it. What is the best thing for us to do?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's great that you have options here, Sonia. Let me just ask a couple of questions first, though. So what do you have in savings right now?
Oh, we have in our Fidelity account, we have about $150,000. And in our home account, we have, if you combine some of them, we have about $80,000.
All right. And do you have retirement accounts separate from the $150,000 and the $80,000?
Yes.
Okay. So do you feel like you're on track for retirement with what you're doing through your company-sponsored plan or whatever else you're saving in?
Feel like we are. My husband has more of an understanding of it than I do.
Okay.
I believe we are.
Okay,
yes.
Great. So then beyond that, the 150 and the 80, that would include what I call your emergency fund, which would be 6 months worth of expenses, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So what is that? What do you guess you guys spend on a monthly basis all in?
All in monthly? Well, it's kind of hard right now because we have two of my daughter and her husband living with us temporarily. So our expenses are a little higher right now. But basically, I think monthly with groceries, gas, electricity, and all that stuff, around 7,000 to 9,000 a month.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's say it's 9,000, and then if we get 6 months there, so that's 55,000, we'll call it. And so you've got 230,000 today that you're in your reserves. And so if we pull out that 55,000 and we want to, no matter what we do, we want to leave that parked in savings, so you've got it for the unexpected. That leaves 175,000. Now, other than a potential car purchase, is this earmarked for anything else in the near term?
Maybe some new carpet or a new door.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, some home renovation projects, but not more than 10,000 of it, I guess, right?
Correct.
Okay. And then what would you be looking to spend on the car? Have you guys done some looking at your budget and your shopping around to see what you might want to spend?
Yeah, and it looks like it's going to be anywhere from 37,000 to up to 41,000. For a new car.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're like pretty shocked at car prices right
now. It's amazing. So. Yeah. I mean, I was on a lot the other day, not because I was buying, but I was taking my car to get some service. And it was just, I mean, the number of cars I saw that were 70,000 plus sitting on that lot were just, it was mind blowing. But nevertheless, yeah. Well, you know, I think with regard to this, I mean, you're in the unique position where you do have the ability to buy this for cash. And I kind of like that. I mean, interest rates are higher right now. So for instance, you know, even with great credit, you know, the best you're going to find on a new car, unless there's some sort of incentives out there, you know, a typical rate's going to be about 5.6% right now. And that's for a super prime credit score over 780. Most folks are still paying close to 7% on a new car, and more than that on a used car is upwards of 7.5% to 9.5% on a new car. So for that reason, I think, you know, it does make some sense for you to think about paying cash. Now, one other option is you could finance it and then pay it off sooner. And the only reason you might do that is that a lot of times you can get a better deal by financing it because, you know, these dealers are averaging around $1,000 in finance income from every car they sell. And so although, you know, it's simpler to buy with cash, you can get in and out a little bit quicker, you know, it's more profitable for them to finance it for you, which means they may be willing to give you a better deal. Now, you need to find out how quickly you can pay it off. In some cases, they'll make you hang on to that for maybe 3 months or something like that. But, you know, what I would do is spend some time to find out whether there's any extra rebates for financing with the dealer, because what you may find is you get the very best offer that way, and then you turn around, and as soon as you possibly can, you'd pay it off. But at the end of the day, I'd like for you guys to own this car outright, especially if you're on track with your retirement savings. And, you know, if you're going to be putting this to work in an after-tax environment where you're paying taxes on the gains on the investments, you know, it's probably going to be a wash. And again, unless you find a dealer who's offering a really, you know, attractive interest rate to try to move some cars, we just haven't seen a lot of those as of late. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, it makes perfect sense. So we just need to do a little more footwork, I think, on this.
I think that's right, and I think I would be willing to have you finance it, especially if they're going to offer you some extra rebates or give you a better deal, but just know, you know, how quickly you can pay it off. And if your rate's anything north of probably 5%, then you probably want to go ahead and pay it off as soon as you can. Otherwise, you certainly could look at investing it, and then it just comes down to, can we actually outpace, you know, the return after tax, can we outpace the interest that we're paying? And unless you're getting at least a 2 or 3 percentage points on that a year, I'd say go for, you know, owning the car outright.
Okay. Okay. This
All right.
is great advice. I feel good. Better now. Thank you.
I'm so glad. Listen, you guys keep up the good work, Sonia. You guys are doing a fabulous job, and I appreciate you being on the program today. Let's go to Virginia. Hey, Rick, go ahead, sir.
Hi, Rob. Hey, Rob. Thank you for your show and for the godly counsel you give.
Thank you.
I have a couple questions. The first one is there a maximum age that my wife and I need to start withdrawing from our IRAs?
Yes, and that's been increasing. It's going up to 73. Eventually, it's going up to 75. But today, for most people, if you were born, let's see, after 1951, it'd be age 73.
Do you know when it's going up to 75?
Not for another 10 years, I think. Let's do this. I will double check that. I've got to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll give you that information, and then we'll tackle the second part of your question as well. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. A quick break and back with our final segment right around the corner. Stay with us.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
My grocery bill went up 11% this year. Gas, utilities, rent, all went up. But my paycheck, the same. I also pay for my own healthcare, a huge expense. A friend recommended Christian Healthcare Ministries as an option to insurance, and CHM helps pay for medical needs while allowing some breathing room in my budget. Open enrollment is here, so make the switch today with potential cost savings up to 40%. Christian Healthcare Ministries at chministries.org/faithfi.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Just before the break, we were talking to our friend Rick in Virginia. He was asking about required minimum distributions. You know, these numbers have all been in flux because the Secure Act 2.0, when it was signed into law, pushed out the required minimum distribution ages. So for those born between 1951 and 1959, your RMD age is now 73. That will eventually move out to 75 beginning in 2033. So we still got a little ways to go before that happens. That'd be for folks born in 1960 or later. It will eventually be 75. But so I think that was the first part of your question. So for you then, Rick, it would be the April the 1st for the year following the year you turned 73 would be your first RMD, and then it'd be December 31st of each year following.
Okay, great. Thank you. And that would be the Roth and the traditional IRAs. Is that correct?
No, sir. There is no required minimum for the Roth. So that would just be for the traditional.
Oh, great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. My other question was, I really appreciated the call, the previous call about the percentages when you gave that for the amount of stocks. I think you said 110 minus your age, and then
yeah,
which for me would be about 40, and that is a general guideline for stocks. Is that right?
It is. Yeah. That, and the number used to be the rule of 100, and now we're living longer just because of medical advances. And so given the longevity of the average American now, you know, it requires that you, the idea is that you'd have a little bit more stock exposure than you would have had because you need to keep that money growing so that you can support a longer withdrawal rate or withdrawal over a longer period of time. And so that's why they bumped it up to 110. Some folks will even say 120 now, which just, you know, gets your stock percentage up even higher. But I think 110 is a good rule of thumb, at least as a starting point. So that would, you know, put you at a 60-40 fixed income to stock portfolio at age 70.
Great. We have a bunch of money in credit unions and banks where we don't get a lot of interest. So I want to move that into bonds, a bunch of it anyway. And I'm wondering, is mutual funds that's heavy in bonds or what would you recommend?
I mean, you could buy individual bonds, U.S. Treasuries, or you could buy corporate bonds. You could also buy a fund, which is a little easier to do because then you're relying on the manager of the fund to actually select the individual bonds. You'd probably want a shorter to intermediate term bond fund, high quality, with a good track record. I think that could be a great way for you to go for sure. And if you're going to buy them yourself, you'd probably want to stay on the shorter end of the durations as well. But, you know, if you want to do it yourself, I think buying a bond fund with a manager could be a great option.
That's great. Well, thank you so much.
All righty. Absolutely, Rick. Hey, one option to consider would be, you know, there's some really compelling in the faith-based investing space impact bond funds that have a great yield. It may not be your only, you know, bond offering, but maybe as a part of your overall bond portfolio. Praxis in particular has a great fund in the bond space that are, you know, is really focused on impact around the globe. So you may want to look at that as you're just evaluating your overall bond allocation. But thanks for being on the program, sir. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 here in our final segment. I've got room for maybe one more question today. We'd love to tackle what's on your mind. Let's go to Iowa. Hey, John, go ahead.
Hey, Rob, question about Social Security check net amount. Let me know if I'm doing this correctly. I'm estimating from the Social Security site my monthly amount would be like $3,000. So then Medicare Parts B and D, does that come out of that? And that's like $200, I guess. And then I think I might get an IRMA charge, which is like maybe $400. And then do I also take out 24% for income taxes? So then does my three – how does that all work?
Yeah, so you're exactly right. So you can go to ssa.gov and check out the latest numbers on your benefits and your Medicare deductions. And if you have an IRMA charge, then, you know, that'll show up as well. But yes, I mean, that's basically the way that it works. It's your modified, you know, based on your modified adjusted gross income, the more you make, the higher the premium. And then you have your prescription drug plan. And then IRMA is that surcharge for people with an income above a certain amount you have to pay in addition to your Medicare B and D. And then if you have to pay taxes just based on your AGI, then that would be certainly on top of that. So a lot to factor in there. And I think your starting point is exactly where you were at SSA.gov. So hope that helps you, John. We appreciate it. Hey, before we wrap up the program today, we're always delighted to have Bob Dahl stop by. Bob joins us each week with his market commentary and analysis. So as we turn our attention to that and round out the program, Bob, looking forward to hearing what you're thinking today about the markets. I mean, certainly we're coming off of this all-time high last week, and now we've got, I guess, the third day of some pullback, which is probably not unexpected. What do you make of this market?
You know, the market is discounting, as we've discussed before, near perfection at these valuation levels. And while there might be some more upside because momentum is in place, we certainly have the economy showing some signs of slowing. Inflation, hey, it's come down, but it's gotten stubborn the last month or two. So I think having a little caution given the elevated levels probably makes some sense here. I think we'll have some churning in both directions, Rob, to confuse everybody.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Bob, as we continue to look at this idea of a soft landing, I mean, a lot of folks, I know Jamie Dimon was out yesterday with some comments just saying, hey, I just don't see this happening. I mean, we're headed for a recession. Is that still your base case?
Yeah, that is our call, and no question about it. Those who are arguing for a soft landing, things have gone well. The economy has been stronger than expected, and that's the reason, among others, inflation has been higher than expected. You put the two together, I think we will see some slowdown. And you're seeing that, Rob. The retail sales number shows the consumer slowing a little bit. Some of the employment numbers, while still good, they're no longer great. So we're witnessing some slowing. I think we'll see some more.
Yeah. And given all of that and given some slow deterioration in the economic data, the fact that we're at these sky high valuations just really doesn't leave much room for upside moving forward, I guess, huh?
It does. And especially if the slowdown results in earnings coming in less positive than expected. The consensus is still looking for double-digit earnings growth this year. I just don't see it, especially if we have a slowdown. So I'd make sure I'm focusing on companies that have good earnings predictability, earnings persistence, good cash flow, and reasonable valuations, which is harder to find with each passing day the market goes up.
Yeah, no question about that. Bob, as we look internationally, I've read some articles last weekend just about China and some predictions, that it will overtake the U.S. And obviously, they've got problems of their own. They've got demographics issues that are probably bigger than ours. What do you make of just kind of the U.S. on the world stage economically moving forward?
Economically, take a look at the current picture. Japan, China, Germany, the UK are all either coming out of recession, flirting with a recession, in recession, and our economy's been pretty good. So, from economics perspective, we're looking great. We have better productivity than almost all those other big countries, and that's among the reasons, despite our economy slowing, we don't have to fear a horrible recession.
Yeah. All right. And then finally, Bob, coming back home for a minute, obviously a lot of this upside to the market that we've experienced as of late is driven by this narrow group of high-flying growth tech companies led by NVIDIA. And, AI obviously has great promise, but what is the real impact, do you think, to our economy moving forward from AI? And can it be something that really can help us move past some of the bigger headwinds that we have from a macro perspective?
It already is and will certainly continue to help. I mentioned productivity. On the list of productivity reasons is clearly AI. It is making a difference, and it has for some time. This is not a brand new phenomenon. It's just getting a lot of attention because it has some new growth spurts to it. So, yes, productivity, AI in particular, is a positive, but I don't think that's all positive enough that we have repealed the economic cycle where every once in a while you have a recession.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, Bob, before we let you go, we had a caller on just a moment ago who's managing his own portfolio. He's in his 70s looking for a balanced portfolio and wanting to use funds. And for those folks who want to bring a faith-based option, I'd love for you to share just what options Crossmark has in this space, particularly where there might even be some fixed income exposure.
Yeah, so you mentioned Praxis is good fund, and it is a very good fund. At Crossmark, we have what we call our core bond fund. It's fairly conservative, provides some income, some capital appreciation, so that's another one to add the potential mix. I think I heard the call, and I think the gentleman's being wise and trying to look for some diversification through a mutual fund or two.
Excellent. But the idea that we can have our values reflected in our investments is very real and opportune right now, isn't it?
Hear, hear. That's for those of us who believe we want to line up our investments with our faith and the rest of our life. So it's all part of the story.
Very good. All right, Bob, we appreciate your insights, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Bye.
All right. That's Bob Dahl. He's Chief Executive Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more and sign up for his weekly commentary, Dahl's Deliberations, at crossmarkglobal.com. That's crossmarkglobal.com. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. So thankful to have you along with us today. We covered a lot of ground. I'm always grateful for your questions and your stories and for your kind remarks about the program. By the way, if you'd like to support our work here as we head toward the end of the month, this is a really important time for us to hear from you as a listener-supported ministry. Just go to faithfi.com and click give. That's faithfi.com and click give. And thanks in advance. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.